The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. Just a couple of minutes late getting into the studio, but thankfully the producers were Johnny on the spot with some of the promos that we have here that play on the station. Today we're going to talk more about Brexit, believe it or not. It's such a dramatic development, and we're seeing the reconstruction of Europe right before our eyes, and cries for a confidence-inspiring leader. That leader is coming. Mr. Armstrong talked about him, talked about that confidence-inspiring leader coming right out of the heart of Europe. He was right. Herbert Armstrong was right. He was right about Brexit, and he was right about a German-dominated European Union, and he's right about the strongman to come out of the heart of Europe as well. Toward the end of the show, if we have some time, we'll go through a few more emails that have come in. And also we'll pass along some pretty exciting numbers, again, relating to this radio program. Well, you probably saw news yesterday, just another terrible attack in Istanbul. The death toll now there is, I think, up to 41. Over 200 people have been wounded by these suicide attackers. I guess there were three of them that blew themselves up in the Istanbul airport. It's one of the busiest airports in Europe. And so the terrorist attacks continue, and they're pushing closer and closer and closer into the heart of Europe. Of course, the heart of Europe's already been hit a number of times. And so amid all of the turmoil in Europe politically, we have to keep our eye on the push coming from the King of the South, the push coming from radical Islam, because that's going to provoke quite a response, as it says in Daniel 11 and verse 40. Well, as I say, it's impossible not to discuss Brexit and the reshaping of Europe, because this is such a dramatic moment. It's a defining moment, really, for the future of Europe. Yesterday, Nigel Farage, the head of UKIP there in the UK, he was taking a victory lap of sorts there in front of the European Parliament. And I think after his speech, I'll play you an excerpt here in just a second, but after his speech, I think he was quoted as saying that he didn't fully realize just how seismic the British referendum was, just how dramatic this event really was, until he arrived at the European Parliament, until he saw how the European Parliament received him. This is what Mr. Farage said yesterday in front of the European Parliament.
But the biggest problem you've got, and the reason, the main reason the United Kingdom voted the way that it did, is you have, by stealth, by deception, without ever telling the truth to the British or the rest of the peoples of Europe, you have imposed upon them a political union. You've imposed upon them a political union. And when the people in 2005 in the Netherlands and France voted against that political union, when they rejected the Constitution, you simply ignored them and brought the Lisbon Treaty in through the back door. What happened? What happened last Thursday was a remarkable result. It was indeed a seismic result, not just for British politics, for European politics, but perhaps even for global politics too, because what the little people did, what the ordinary people did, what the people who have been oppressed over the last few years and seen their living standards go down, they rejected the multinationals. They rejected the merchant banks. They rejected big politics. And they said, actually, we want our country back. We want our fishing waters back. We want our borders back. We want to be an independent, self-governing, normal nation. And that is what we have done. And that is what must happen. And in doing so, we now offer a beacon of hope to Democrats across the rest of the European continent. I'll make one prediction this morning. The United Kingdom will not be the last member state to leave the European Union.
That last bit there about the prediction that the UK will not be the last member state to leave. I mean, that's the truth as well. But before that, you'll see there where he's telling this entire body, this parliament, that they've imposed this union upon the member states. And you go back to 2005, as he said, the Netherlands and France, they voted out, and Europe ignored them and just went ahead with the Lisbon Treaty. And now the UK is shaking things up. It's a seismic activity, as he said there. Europe's in the midst of being reconstructed. It'll be based again on the German model, but it is being reshaped. Mr. Armstrong had some things to say about how it would look in the end, based upon God's prophecies. This is covered in He Was Right, by the way. That's just a fantastic booklet, as I was saying on last Friday's program. There's just so much in there, so much detail that Mr. Armstrong brings out based upon these great prophecies of God, particularly the first two or three chapters of that booklet. I think it's about 70 pages in total. But if you want to understand what's happening in Europe, read the first few chapters of He Was Right. This particular quote is in there. This is from June of 1980, where Mr. Armstrong said it, and this is 9 years, keep in mind, 9 years before the fall of the Berlin Wall. It says it looks entirely feasible that Yugoslavia may be included in this revived Roman Empire. Also, the Pope's native Poland and Romania, and possibly Hungary. Add Austria, Germany, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and France. There will be a union of 10 nations in the general area of the medieval Roman Empire in the new United Europe. He says probably Holland, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden will not be included in the final 10. But Ireland may. Britain, he says, will not. Britain won't be in it. And then he says later, I've been forecasting this revived Roman Empire publicly since February of 1934. How did he know? How did he know so much detail? I mean, he even had a lot to say about the member states. Now, he said we don't know for sure on all of them. We do know for sure on Britain. Okay, so that's happened. That's now happened. Mr. Armstrong also, well, he said some of the same things that I just quoted there in a Bible study that he gave back in 1980. This is the audio file number 7. We'll play that clip for you now.
Now, that's what we're expecting next over here in Europe, is that there will be a union of 10 nations going together in Europe, and the Pope at Rome will sit on top of the whole heap. There will be one man over all of the governments. There will be a king, or I don't know what they may call him, a president, a prime minister, whatever term they give him, I don't know, over each one of the 10 nations. Now, I did think, let me just say, I did think that Belgium and Sweden and Norway and countries like that would be in it. And I had sort of changed my mind a little bit. You see, the Bible doesn't tell us just which nations. The Bible only tells us there will be 10. And it doesn't tell us which, and so I can't know. But now I'm beginning to think that the Polish Pope may bring Poland in. And they're having labor trouble right now. It's in this morning's newspapers right over here in Paris. There's going to be another labor trouble in Poland. And as you know, that Romania is not really very enthusiastically with the Soviet, and neither is Yugoslavia. And I can begin to see some of those nations breaking loose from the Russian orbit and going in. And instead of the Scandinavian nations, they will go in with France and Germany and with Spain and Portugal and Italy and form the 10 nations with the Roman. And that will be the same territory that was occupied by the old Roman Empire. That is coming along.
That is coming along, indeed. And he said, I can begin to see some of those nations in Eastern Europe, he said, in 1980, breaking loose from the Russian orbit and going in with Europe. That has happened. He was right. He was right about Brexit. He was right about a German-dominated Europe. He was right about those Eastern satellites coming into the European Union. He was right about the reunification of Germany. How could he have known? Well, let's look again briefly at Daniel 2. Let's look at the framework. Let's look at the framework, the blueprint. God gives us this, he said in that clip I just played for you. There's some detail that we can't know for sure. But look at what he was saying there. It's interesting, isn't it, that instead of those Scandinavian nations, you're probably going to have more from the east, like Poland, Yugoslavia, and so on. Of course, Yugoslavia has since split apart. But they've gone in with Europe. Daniel 2:40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things. And as iron that breaks all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. So it's talking about, well, I went a little bit further down, but if you back up, you can see, or if you read further, you can see the two legs of this Roman Empire. Anciently, of course, it had the two capitals, Rome and Constantinople. But based on this framework, again, Mr. Armstrong talked about 5 coming from the west part of Europe, 5 from the east. And at the time of that statement, at the time of that coworker letter in 1980 that I quoted from, I mean, the eastern territory of Europe was under Russian control. It was in the Soviet Union. All of this is happening. Just as Mr. Armstrong spelled it out, verse 41, and whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. So here are the 10 toes, or the 10 kings, as it says in Revelation 17. And it's going to be a short-lived empire, a short-lived reign, as we covered the other day. But while it lasts, it's going to have all of the strength of iron that you would expect from the Roman Empire, this final resurrection of the Roman Empire. Verse 43 says, as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, so they will mix one another in marriage. Mix with one another in marriage, it says in the Revised Standard Version. But they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. So even this fractious nature, or these divisions that you see in Europe, even that's prophesied. And so we're not surprised by this. We're not surprised by all the division, the fighting, the competition. You've got a lot of different peoples, a lot of different nations who are looking out for their own interests. But the more you see these crises play out, the more you see these nations around Germany looking to Deutschland, looking to Germany, looking to German leadership. We'll talk more about this in the second segment. Let me play for you. I think I quoted from these next couple of clips yesterday, and we've since tracked them down. This is Mr. Armstrong again talking about what he had been prophesying for so many years. This is clip one.
I have said, my friends, and been saying all along that there will be a United States of Europe, that Europe is going to unite, and that there will be a union of church and state in Europe, and there will be one great super government there, and it will be fascist in its system, and it will be that thing coming up that will prevent communism from attacking us. And it will move much faster than the communists move. And because it moves so much faster, they will attack us before the communists do. All right, you just look in your Bible and see for yourself.
Now, it's interesting about that particular quote. It's from the 60s, maybe the 50s. And, of course, there were those all throughout the 1950s, the 1960s, all throughout the Cold War, who insisted that if anyone attacks the United States, it's going to be the Soviet Union. If anyone attacks the United States, surely it's going to be our biggest enemy. And all along, Mr. Armstrong said, Russia will not attack the United States. The next attack is coming from Europe. Now look at where we are today. You talk about all of these things that have been fulfilled. I mean, just the fact that he would boldly say, Russia's not going to attack us. They move slower, the Russian bear. But Europe, when it gets the strong man, it will move fast. It's going to move fast. It's already happening, even without the strong leadership. Again, we'll look more at that in the second segment. But for now, I just want to focus your attention on the fact that it's being dramatically reshaped. And it's going to come out looking just like Mr. Armstrong said it would look. Here's another bit that I quoted yesterday. This is clip two.
Where it says, in those days and at that time, when a terrible thing is going to happen to this Babylon that is now rising up over in Europe and around the Mediterranean region. It's rising up. You don't see it. It's still underground. It hasn't emerged above ground yet. But we're going to stand aghast. The people of the world are going to be dumbfounded when this thing comes.
That's Mr. Armstrong talking with his typical energy and enthusiasm in declaring the prophecies of God. We are going to stand aghast at how fast this unfolds before our eyes. The people of the world are going to be dumbfounded when they see all of this come about. It was underground at the time he was speaking about it, in the 1950s, in the 1960s. But right now, it's above ground. It is there for you to see. Do you see it? Do you see it? It's right there. It's no longer underground. One final clip here. This is more recent from a TV program that Mr. Armstrong recorded back in 1984. This is clip number three.
10 nations, the Bible prophecy says, are going to unite in Europe, and they will be probably more powerful than either the Soviet Union or the United States. When all the nations of Europe get together, there will be 10 of them.
It's going to be more powerful than the Soviet Union or the United States. I have another clip we'll play later that just talks about the numbers. I mean, you put all the population centers together, and what you have is a rival. a new superpower. Now, I want to come back to GermanForeignPolicy.com. I quoted a little bit from it on yesterday's show, but I just want to bring out more of the detail. This particular piece, it comes from German Foreign Policy, a German publication. It came out June 27th, just the other day. And it talks about how Berlin is applying intense pressure in the aftermath of the Brexit to reorganize the EU. So it's Germany that's applying the pressure. It's Germany that's behind the reorganization. It's Germany that's reshaping the continent, the Union. And it's doing it under the slogan Flexible Union, as I covered yesterday. There's talk now, as I said yesterday, of this core Europe. GermanForeignPolicy.com, it says this would mean an EU led by a small, tight-knit core of countries with the rest of the EU members being subordinated to a second-class status. This is the part I read yesterday. But it continues here. At the same time, the president of the European Parliament and Germany's Minister of the Economy are calling for the communitarization, or the community, in other words, of the EU's foreign policy, reinforcement of its external borders, the enhancement of domestic repression, and the creation of a European FBI. It goes into some of the details then. And then later, when talking about the core, it says here, already earlier this year, Berlin initiated preparations for transforming the EU into a flexible union and creating a core Europe. It goes back to what the six founding EU countries were doing, Germany leading the way again. What they were doing back in February. I mean, there, as I said yesterday, there has been discussion about this core Europe for years. For years, Reuters reported on it in 2011, and nobody really paid any attention except for this work, except for God's church. And now here comes GermanForeignPolicy.com, and I mean, it's just laying it all out. This is what's been going on for the past many months. This plan of action. It says later, the discussion in Rome was focused not only on the refugee policy, but also, it talks about these six, these six founding members coming together to discuss the crises. They got together to discuss the refugee crisis and also the possibility of Brexit. It says here, in their joint communique, the six foreign ministers underline the different paths of integration provided for by the Lisbon Treaty, a hint at the option of a flexible union. It says here the foreign ministers of the six founding countries again met on May 20th. So there's the February discussions, and then again in May. This time they met in Brussels. And more specifically this time around, in May I mean, they talked about the EU's development should Britain leave. What do we do if Britain leaves? How do we respond to this? It says there's a need to recognize that among the member countries, there are different levels of ambition towards European integration. That's what they concluded. Look, there's different levels of commitment here. There's some that are really all for deeper integration, a closer union. That's going to be the core. It says here, Berlin's dominance, this is GermanForeignPolicy.com, Berlin's dominance within the EU is being more or less officially confirmed by the president of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker. It says also, in the future, Germany will continue to play a central role, if not an even more significant role in the European Union. That's a quote from Juncker. According to Handelsblatt, that's a German publication. That's the nice thing about GermanForeignPolicy.com, is it just, like some of our assistants do in the news bureau that speak German. They comb through some of the German publications. It says, finally here, in Berlin, this is all being flanked by statements that cannot be otherwise interpreted as oblique war threats. Although it's difficult for us to imagine, one should never forget that the idea of a united Europe had been an idea of peace, claims the German chancellor. The allegation corresponds less to historical reality than to the EU's self-promotion. Yet Merkel declares that in Europe, reconciliation and peace are both currently and in the future anything other than self-evident. The chancellor has expressed this point of view in various EU crisis situations. According to this view, the potential of European countries settling their disputes militarily remains essentially unaltered and can be unleashed should they no longer choose integration in a German-dominated EU. Herbert Armstrong was right. He was right about Russia not attacking the U.S. He was right about Brexit. He was right about Germany dominating. And he's right about the 10. And he's right about the strongman. And he's also right about how strong and powerful this union will be once it finally does come together. These 10 kings, these 10 dictatorships. Think about what Nigel Farage said yesterday. This is not democracy. You impose this upon us. And now the British people have spoken. And we want out. 10 kings. Let me conclude this segment by just playing a couple more clips. This is, again, from Herbert W. Armstrong, an old one. This comes from his radio program. This is clip number 9.
There will be about 375 million people in the population in this resurrected Roman Empire, in the territory of the old Roman Empire in Europe. About 375 million people. The 17th chapter of the book of Revelation shows it will be a combination of 10 dictatorships in Europe going together. 10 governments or nations in Europe consolidating in the United States of Europe. I don't know whether they'll call it the Roman Empire or not, but that's what it will be.
That's exactly what it will be. They're going to return to their roots, Europe. These 10 kings, these 10 dictatorships. And when they come together, even looking at the population, you're talking about hundreds of millions of people. Here, finally, is another one. This is also from the 1960s. This is audio clip 6.
You watch it happen, my friends. Now, that's prophecy. That is the word of God. We didn't gain anything by making an ally out of Russia, now, did we? Just look into past history. You see if we're going to gain anything by trying to build up the United States of Europe. You see if we're not building a Frankenstein that's going to turn on us and destroy us. Most of you will live to see it. You remember that I told you and that I spoke by the authority of Jesus Christ.
That's a pretty bold statement to make. A strong warning. You're going to live to see it. And then you'll remember that he told us. You'll remember that he was right. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The indescribable wreckage of the Second World War left hundreds of thousands of civilians in Germany wandering around helplessly, hungry and homeless. Every major city in Germany was buried under a heap of ruin. Adding insult to these devastating injuries, the United States and Britain jointly stated, "It is our inflexible purpose to destroy German militarism and Nazism, and to ensure that Germany will never again be able to disturb the peace of the world." Germany had just received one of the worst beatings ever in the history of modern warfare. Its military might had been destroyed, its infrastructure crushed. Against this backdrop, even as Roosevelt and Churchill offered assurances that German militarism had been permanently dismantled, Herbert W. Armstrong warned of a prophesied revival of German might to be fulfilled in the latter days. From the very start of World War II, Mr. Armstrong wrote on May 9, 1945, they have considered the possibility of losing this second round as they did the first, and they have carefully, methodically planned, in such eventuality, the third round, World War III. Few could have taken this warning seriously in 1945. Yet today, as Stratford noted in 2010, Germany has become one of the richest, most technologically and industrially advanced states in human history. Just as God said it would be, Germany has risen from the ashes of worldwide war to become the largest, wealthiest, and most powerful state in Europe. It is the beating heart of a revived Holy Roman Empire. For more information about the prophetic rise of Germany and the Holy Roman Empire, request our free reprint article, The Holy Roman Empire is Back.
The Trumpet Daily.
But today it becomes a very solemn warning. And now the time is very imminent. The new United States of Europe is on the verge of going together. Now it has gone together a number of times already. Well, five times directly and a sixth time that the world hardly noticed. And we're waiting now for the seventh resurrection of the Roman Empire. And the whole world is going to be astounded.
That's Herbert Armstrong speaking back in 1982. You can pretty much go back to any year of his ministry. That was his keynote prophecy. That's what he talked about over and over and over again. Who else was out there saying it at the time? Who else was saying in the 1950s that Russia would not attack the United States? Who else was warning about Europe? A union of 10 nations to come together. Who else said Britain will be no part of it? He was right. He was right. I just want to spend a few minutes here in this segment talking about this point of leadership. I mentioned yesterday how that Brexit has really exposed the crisis in leadership. The lack of leadership in Britain. Of course, we see it. There's lots of other evidence, of course, pointing to just how weak it is and inept it is in the United States as well. The lack of leadership. And right now you see it all throughout the West, as I said yesterday. And you see it in Germany. Even though Germany is really rising to the top as a result of Brexit, you have Germany's leader. I mean, she's taken a beating in the press there in Germany as they're urging her to show more emotion. I mean, this is huge what's happening. I'll get to that here in just a second, but let me again set it up by first telling you what Herbert Armstrong said. He was right. He said in 1954, all Europe is actually ready, just waiting for the confidence-inspiring leader. That man is there somewhere. I mean, he's there. We would say the same thing today. He's there. So what if it came into view a few years later than Mr. Armstrong expected or hoped? Obviously, he was anxious for the establishment of the kingdom of God, as we should be. But we can take that quote from 1954 and slap it right to a cover story on the Trumpet. It's just waiting for the confidence-inspiring leader. He is there somewhere. He said in 1953, without Germany, such a federation of nations is impossible. It's probable that none but a German can provide the dynamic, inspired leadership required to organize such a political military federation. It's probable that none but a German. It's going to be a German, most likely, he said, that comes along and provides the dynamic, inspired leadership. He said in 1956, Europe is going to unite against us. And now Europe is about ready for it. The stage is all set. All that's lacking now is the strong leader. I mean, we've seen everything else happen. The Union coming together. Brexit. Now Europe's being reshaped. Germany's clearly the dominant nation. So what are we lacking, looking at it from a prophetic standpoint? The strong leader. Now, this piece from Spiegel in Germany. It says, Brexit on ice. More emotion, please, Angie. More emotion. More emotion, Mrs. Merkel. It says, Angela Merkel is known for her dispassionate objectivity, but when it comes to Brexit, a bit more emotion is needed. Change is necessary in the European Union, but the German chancellor seems uninterested in leading the change. So who is going to lead it? It's going to be a confidence-inspiring leader. It says here, Chancellor Angela Merkel was scheduled to speak about Brexit before the German parliament today. So this happened yesterday. So she stood up before the Bundestag and gave a speech about Brexit, and everything she said was doubtlessly correct. But as Spiegel goes on to note, something's missing. I mean, there should be more. I mean, she's getting the facts right, I guess, but there's just something not there that should be there. It was a typical Merkel address, free of drama and full of detached objectivity, an accurate description of the situation, Brexit on ice. But is that enough, Spiegel asks. Could she have done more, Spiegel asks. Brexit is an historical watershed in the history of Europe. Merkel has said so herself. The British, and along with them, Europeans across the continent, are searching for answers. Business as usual is simply not enough. Even if business as usual can have a calming effect in turbulent times. Business as usual, it's just not enough. Spiegel says later, imagine for a moment that Merkel had given the kind of speech that goes viral, a moving speech that would be shared on Facebook and commented on with exclamation marks by young people across Europe. Merkel gets it! Exclamation point. Merkel gets it! People might have said, written, or felt. And they might have felt strengthened in their European identity. That would have been something. And that's what Europe needs following Brexit. Goosebumps. That's Spiegel. A top German publication saying what we need is leadership. What we need is a confidence-inspiring leader. We need a strong man. We need speeches that give goosebumps. It's not enough. It's not enough to just go on as if it's business as usual. Look at what's happening in Europe. These are turbulent times. Europe needs a confidence-inspiring leader. That's how Mr. Armstrong described that man, prophesied in Daniel chapter 8. Over at Foreign Policy, it says here that Angela Merkel doesn't have a plan for Brexit either. And yet it points out how that Britain's exit from the EU has made Germany, quote, far more powerful. Okay, far more powerful. And yet, the German chancellor has no plan. The German chancellor, as Spiegel notes, has no emotion. The German chancellor is proceeding as if it's business as usual. Foreign Policy says from her poker face, you would never know that the Brexit vote has thrust Germany into the driver's seat of the European Union as never before. You talk about events that are giving us goosebumps. Germany's in the driver's seat as never before. Britain's exit not only eliminates one-third of the Berlin-Paris-London triumvirate, the gear shaft of the 28-member union, it also costs the union a member that often functioned as a counterweight to EU-wedded Germany. Given that France is entirely consumed with its own affairs, recession and economic reform, labor unrest, terrorism, Germany is emerging from the Brexit vote with more clout and responsibility than ever before. Ever before. I mean, we've been talking about how Germany's dominating Europe for decades. The last 20 years, at least. How Germany was behind the economic crisis, even, to bring those southern states into submission. Well, now here you see, at Foreign Policy and elsewhere, Germany has more clout, more responsibility, more power than ever before. The whole continent's looking to Germany. The whole continent's looking to Mrs. Merkel for answers, for direction. Where do we go from here? Well, Foreign Policy says, tragically, it doesn't appear that Merkel has the slightest inkling of what to do with her country's new, even more powerful status. She doesn't know what to do with this powerful Germany. My father's made a statement before that the empire's already there. It's just waiting for the emperor. It's waiting for the emperor. It's waiting for the king. It's waiting for the confidence-inspiring leader. These are dramatic times we're living in. Turbulent times, for sure. Foreign Policy says she and Germany as a whole are so thoroughly intertwined with the problems plaguing the Union that it's nearly impossible to imagine Berlin summoning the vision and grit to overhaul the Union in order to halt its decline. Merkel and other members of Europe's leadership, like EU President Juncker, are the old guard, the exhausted, played-out elite against whom the masses are rebelling. They're like can't be the EU's saviors. So it needs new leaders. It needs to get rid of the old guard. There's another underlying reason for Merkel's cagey, measured approach, Foreign Policy says. Namely, she has no master plan to keep the EU from unraveling. And then it says, finally, the EU needs a remodeling and a fresh source of inspiration, something like the rallying cry for peace and prosperity that inspired enlargement and the integration process over the post-war decades. Simple gestures at peace and prosperity just don't cut it anymore. That's astounding, that quote. The EU needs a remodeling and a fresh source of inspiration. That is coming. That's next. It's to be remodeled, and there's going to be a fresh source of inspiration coming from the heart of Europe, probably a German, a confidence-inspiring leader, described in detail in Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. Daniel 8:23, it says, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to a full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. He's going to stand up to lead a united Europe, a superpower. A superpower. Let me play for you yet another clip from Herbert Armstrong. This is from a TV program he taped back in 1978. This is clip number 5.
Now, a united Europe will bring about a power, a superpower, because the nations of Europe want to unite. They just don't know how to do it. And it's possible that the now present Pope may, or a future one, however it may be, extend his good offices to help them bring about what they would like to have in Europe, not only economical cooperation, but an absolute political union with a common currency and a common military force. There is a great deal of nuclear power and weapons over there belonging to the United States, but which they could easily just take over. And they could become a stronger power than either the United States or Russia. And now within two decades, there's the promise that China may be greater than any of them. And one in competition against the others. That is the future that you can look forward to, and that is the world that you are living in now.
That's quite a forecast. It's from 1978. And speaking about Europe, they want to come together, they just don't know how to do it. Of course, he says they're going to receive some confidence-inspiring leadership from the Vatican as well. But there's to be a strong king, a king of fierce countenance, a king who comes into office by flatteries, as it says in Daniel 11. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we watch for next. That, together with the reshaping, of course. Again, what an astounding quote there at the end of that foreign policy piece. The EU needs a remodeling and a fresh source of inspiration. That fresh source of inspiration, it's coming. Verse 24 here in Daniel 8, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And so we know what to watch for. We have the playbook recorded in advance, thousands of years in advance. You think about that keynote prophecy and what it revolves around, all of the key components that Germany would be the leader of a united Europe. Well, for one, that Europe would come together and unite. That's happened. That Germany would be the leader. That's happened. And yet we know it's a mixture of iron and clay, as I read in the first segment. Carrying on another component. Britain won't be part of it. That's happened. And then the others, well, there's going to be a spiritual binding force. The good offices of the Vatican, I mean, that's I'm sure already happening to a great degree behind the scenes. And then you have, of course, this confidence-inspiring leader. This confidence-inspiring leader. It's all building, isn't it? It's all building to what's described in the last bit of Daniel 11. That clash between the kings of the north and south. And then, of course, Russia and the Asiatic hordes are drawn into it, as the last part of that chapter brings out. And then the beast power's entrance into the Holy Land, Jerusalem. A time of trouble, as it says in Daniel 12, verse 1, like this world has never seen. And all of it culminating in the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily Radio Show. When we come back, we'll just roll through a few more very encouraging, very exciting statistics regarding the radio program. And if we have time, we'll read a couple of emails. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
The very best minds in the world are in total ignorance of the unprecedented cataclysm that is about to strike. And why have these prophecies not been understood or believed? Because the vital key that unlocks prophecy to our understanding had been lost. That key is the identity of the United States and the British peoples in biblical prophecy. That key has been found. It is presented to those whose unprejudiced eyes are willing to see in this volume, the United States and Britain in prophecy. The events prophesied to strike the American and British peoples in the next few years are sure. These colossal world events, shrinking the first two world wars into insignificance, will come, but not until the warning has been made available for those whose eyes are willing to see. Request the United States and Britain in Prophecy today. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Coming into this summer, I was talking to Sam Livingston, our producer back in at Edstone, and I was mentioning how that I'd just like to really concentrate, since we don't have college classes going on, concentrate on trying to build a bigger audience for the program. And we've tried a few things like some of you may have seen the Trumpet Daily video, short videos that we've produced that just kind of advertise the radio program, that point people to the radio program. But as I've covered earlier this week, if you look at the attention or the size of the audience just in the last week, I mean, events themselves are building a bigger audience for this program and for thetrumpet.com, the website. I mean, we had triple the traffic last Friday, and it pretty much carried on through the weekend. If you look at the SoundCloud stats, I know I got into this just a little bit on Monday's program, but we set a record last Friday with that breaking news about Brexit. 1,713 people played one of our programs on SoundCloud that day, Friday. Most of them, of course, played that Friday program where we talked about Brexit. The next day was the second highest day of the year, of all year. I mean, we're 6 months into the year. We had 1,713 plays on Friday. We had 1,620 plays on Saturday. And then again yesterday, it took a little bit of a dip on Sunday and then started to come back Monday. And then yesterday, we had 1,409 plays, and that was the third highest of the year. So in the last 5 days, we've had the top 3 days of the year on SoundCloud. And one of our producers here, Dwight Falk, said that I think the people listening into the live stream, just to the KPCG site, it set a record last Friday as well. I think something like 111. So you add it all together, and the audience size is certainly building. Well, keep in touch, keep in contact with us. Send your emails to the Trumpet Daily program. You can send those to td@kpcg.fm. I've run out of time, so I'll have to save the emails that I have here today for another time. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.